And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Machuda.
And it's great to be with you today. Greetings. Yes, you have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful Apologetics Dojo. I'm Gary Machuda, and we're talking about explaining, defending the Catholic faith with clarity, charity, and confidence. And boy, I love apologetics. It's so fun to do this show, and thank you so much for tuning in. We have an interesting show in store for us today, kind of a little bit out of the ordinary in that we're going to be talking about confession. Now, not necessarily the biblical roots of the sacrament of confession, although we might get into that. If we have some callers, we'd be glad to share some of the biblical roots for it. But more of the psychological obstacles that people run into. For example, many good Catholics nevertheless have a fear of going to confession. And since it's Lent and, you know, it's a penitential season, it's important for us to go to confession. So joining us today is our Eastern Rite apologist, Maronite Rite Catholic, Paul Thomas, coming into the dojo. And we're going to talk about overcoming the fear of confession and, you know, how to perhaps motivate. Maybe you don't have, you know, fear or anxiety about this particular sacrament, but perhaps you know people. So we're going to, you know, shoot the breeze and come up with some ideas about how we can motivate our brothers and sisters, as well as ourselves, to, you know, visit the merciful sacrament of confession. Okay, it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be very helpful. It's not directly apologetics, but I think it's there. It's in the ballpark, to be sure. So also, we're going to have our Finding the Fallacy for today. And since today is Friday, we usually do a propaganda technique, and the propaganda technique is the big lie. The big lie. We haven't done this one before, I don't think, but this is something we're exposed to more and more every day. And what is it? Why is it effective? Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Also, we're going to meet our early church father for today, and early church father today is an apostolic father, which means he's, you know, if not written during the lifetime of the apostles, he had contact with the apostles or their immediate disciples. And the early church father for today is Hermas. So it's an interesting book. It'll be fun to go through this material. And as always, you are part of the program. And you could, if you want to share some thoughts, or perhaps you have some fears about going to confession, or you know someone, or you'd like tips or whatever, please give us a call. Join the program, especially after the break when Paul Thomas comes on board, at 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, as always, you could also email us if you have any questions or comments. Maybe you're too shy to come to the mic, or maybe you just want to describe something that's off topic, maybe something that's happening at the workplace or something, and you would like to maybe get some advice, you know, throw it out there for people to consider. Shoot us an email at questions@handsonapologetics.com. That's questions@handsonapologetics.com. I'd love to hear from you. I answer every email, and sometimes we even bring it up on the show. So thank you so much for those who have sent emails. Thanks for your patience. We'll do a show. Next week we'll have a show on emails. I definitely have to do that. And, of course, it's my favorite time of the day for us to give a shout-out to those watching on live stream on social media, Facebook and YouTube. Hello, everybody. Great to have you on board. And, yeah, I always love looking at the live stream there. Lots of colorful emojis when we do our little shout-out. And thank you for listening. And by the way, you know, all the programs are available on virginmostpowerfulradio.org, so you can check that out. Just go on there, click on our programs, scroll down the Hands-On Apologetics, and boom, it's all our programs from the very beginning back in October 2018 to today. Lots of great guests and information, interesting topics, And not only my show, but all the shows that's produced by Virgin Most Powerful Radio is there. And, you know, it's Lent. It's good to be efficient. Use your time wisely. We only have so much time we're allowed here on planet Earth. And so for that reason, try to use podcasts, you know, for doing daily chores or whatever. You can listen to the show or listen to other shows. Try to, you know, become more informed and be better equipped to explain and defend the Catholic faith. Very good. All right, folks. Well, let's jump into our Finding the Fallacy for today. And the Finding the Fallacy is the big lie. Now, this is not an informal fallacy like we usually treat during the week. Usually on Fridays, I like to throw in a propaganda technique. And this is more a propaganda than a logical fallacy. Now, what's a propaganda? Propaganda essentially is a way of social manipulation in order to get somebody to believe or do something that doesn't require evidence or argumentation. It's a way of persuading people. And so propaganda techniques are used widely in politics. It's used widely in advertising. It's used widely even in apologetics itself. So it's good to be aware of propaganda, because the best way to defeat its power is to recognize when it's being used. So the big lie, what is the big lie? Well, you know, that actually was coined, believe it or not, by Adolf Hitler in his 1925 book, Mein Kampf. And basically the idea behind the big lie is, if you're going to tell a lie, Hitler kind of mentions that you should make the lie incredibly big. Don't do little lies, do big lies. Why? You make them so colossal that no one would believe that anyone would be so imprudent as to distort the truth so infamously. In other words, if the lie is big enough and bizarre enough, people will think, well, no normal person would create such a distortion. There has to be some truth behind it. And that is the power of the big lie. You know, don't say something small, make a huge lie. And the power, like I said, is that it's just we assume that people are on the surface honest or at least prudent, and they wouldn't stick their neck out to say something so grandiose and so obviously false unless there was something backing it. And, of course, that's not true. And that's the case in point. Look at Hitler. Okay, so not only this, but there's also another description I want to read. This is interesting. It's from A Psychological Analysis of Adolf Hitler, His Life and Legend by Walter Langler, which was prepared for the Office of Strategic Services. And he describes how Hitler operates as the following, quote, his primary rules were never allow the public to cool off, never admit fault or wrong, never concede that there is some good in your enemy, never leave room for alternatives, never accept blame, concentrate on one enemy at a time, blame him for everything that goes wrong. People will believe a big lie sooner than a little one. And if you repeat it frequently enough, people will sooner or later believe it. So you have to ask yourself, how in the world could anybody believe these incredible historic distortions about the Catholic faith, you know, that the Inquisition executed tens of millions of people, or, you know, all these other canards of history? Well, the answer is the big lie, the big lie. So that's our propaganda technique. Very interesting one. And, you know, that's used a lot, again, in politics, especially, and unfortunately also on social media. What about our early church father for today? Well, our early church father is Hermas. Hermas lived or flourished roughly around AD 40 to AD 55. I'm not really sure. We know a little bit about Hermas from a fragment known as the Muratorian Fragment, who informs us that Hermas, the author of a book called The Shepherd, was the brother of Pope St. Pius I, who reigned AD 40 to 155. The Shepherd itself has a few lines, curious information about Hermas. He was a slave. Afterwards, he was a freedman. He had a farm on a highway between Rome and Cumae, but it was lost because of bad business. his children apostatized and betrayed him during persecutions, and his wife had an unbridled tongue. Unfortunately, all these details are quite delightful, but they really don't tell us much about the person of Hermas. Nevertheless, he did write this book, and it's actually a very long book for the time. It's called The Shepherd of Hermas. It's what's called an apocryphal apocalypsis. The work consists of three sections. The first divided into five chapters called visions. The second is mandates, and the third is parables. And the work includes lots of ethical concepts, important ethical concepts, as well as certain things bearing on the sacrament of penance. So actually, this is very timely to talk about Shepherd of Hermas, given the topic of the show, you know, taking away fear from confession. It actually, in a couple of churches, was kind of included with the books of the New Testament. So it was held in high regards in certain locations, although, of course, it was never part of the New Testament. According to the statement of the Meriton Fragment, which I said, he was the brother of Pope Pius, who was Bishop of Rome. But there's a problem, though, because in The Shepherd of Hermas, he also mentions Clement as still being alive. Now, you remember Pope St. Clement I is also an apostolic father, and he reigned a little earlier than The Shepherd of Hermas, so that causes a problem as far as dating. But there's an easy solution to this, is that The Shepherd of Hermas was written, probably began around the reign of Pope St. Clement I, and was finished when his brother became pope. So that's our Meet the Early Church Father today. Coming up on the other side of the break, Paul Thomas in Overcoming Fear of Confession. Stay tuned.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. We're going to talk about confession. Confession, well, think about it. Baptism's a joyful time, you know, there's always lots of joy with people getting baptized, babies getting baptized, confirmation. There's always confirmation parties. You know, it's something that kids look forward to receive that increase of the Holy Spirit. Weddings, ordinations, very joyful. You know, and anointing the sick, maybe not joyful, but certainly open, you know, something good. But what about the sacrament of confession? Many people have a lot of anxiety and fear about confession, and sometimes that prevents them from accessing God's mercy through the sacrament. And to help us work through that fear, you know, and prepare ourselves for receiving the sacrament of confession, we have our Eastern Rite apologist, Paul Thomas, on board. Paul is a noted speaker. He does lots of talks, especially with youth, Catholic youth, and also adult talks. He is a very popular podcaster, and actually we used to do a podcast way back in the day, and Paul Thomas, welcome to Hands On Apologetics.
And how you doing, Gary?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. Always happy to be on.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's talk about confession, shall we? I mean, you know, Paul. Yeah. You know, this is actually a really timely topic because I was talking to another friend of mine. Now, get this. He teaches. The catechesis in this church, he does talks for adults. And the next talk on the topic docket is the sacrament of confession. And the amazing thing is he is getting a lot of pushback from the parishioners on this, that, you know, I don't need to go to confession. I could just pray to God and be forgiven. Why should I do this? You know, it's, you know, there's no need for confession. You know, just every possible reason not to use the thing he's encountering. So I texted him. We kind of bantered about different ways in which we can kind of go around it because it doesn't seem like it's really intellectual. It's more emotional. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, of course it's emotional. You know, it's, you know, wisdom is always something gained in suffering and time. And the way I thought about it when I first came into the faith, I just had my first son. And I've gained so much, I don't want to say wisdom, just more insight now that I'm a father, of how a father looks to his children, a good father, and how we should be. And you and I were talking last week about it. And I think it stems from how we view God as a father. And I told you one of my favorite quotes, and I, you know, I didn't look at it, but I believe it's C.S. Lewis. I heard it in one of a talk by Peter Kreist. It was, I live by it, where he said, people don't want a father in heaven. They want a great-grandfather in heaven, a senile benevolence who at the end of every day says, look how the young kids have fun.
Yeah.
That is not, you know, that's the God that we all want. But that's not the father that is, you know, portrayed. That's not the Father Jesus told us about.
Yeah.
And if you're a child, and all of us have done something wrong as a kid, something really bad, and you were always scared, you know, when you did something at school and your parents found out, you had that crux of how are you going to rectify this? You got in trouble, your parents know you have to apologize. No one wants to apologize, especially to your parents face-to-face.
Yeah.
But it's the only way to squash your problems. Now, you're talking about the fear of it.
Yeah.
Well, you should be afraid. You know, you should feel guilty. That's the part you always hear, the Catholic guilt. Well, yeah, we are guilty because we're guilty. You should, if you have no sorrow for your guilt, then what is confession? It's a gift. And you have to look at it as a gift. You and I were talking about what happened to me a couple weeks ago. You know, I've been, I like to try to make adoration in the morning, just at least to stop in 15, 20 minutes and sit there and just listen to him speak. And there's a church you're familiar with that I attend. It's a Latin Rite parish. And, you know, on next to the altar, they have this statue of, I don't know what it's called, but it's like Jesus. Scorched. He's wearing a purple cape and he has the crown of thorns, and he's tore up. You know, what he would have looked like after being whipped and lashed and tortured. And, you know, I sat and looked at him. I don't want to say, you know, I told you, it's not like it wasn't a theophany or an epiphany or God didn't come out of the sky, but I got the feeling, you know, of we need to really understand God is, he's mercy, but he's justice. There's a reason he gave the apostles to Paul when he told them, whatever sins you forgive are forgiven them, whatever sins you bind are bound. If we didn't have to go to confession, why would he give the apostles and their successors the power to forgive sins if all we had to do was just say, God, I'm sorry?
Right.
There's a need to, you know, when you discipline your kids, how you sit down and you have to talk to them about what they did wrong, that they understand what they did wrong, and their punishment's based on their sorrow. God is a father. He's not a cosmic, you know, thing that's floating out there. He's our father. We're his children. And when we sin against him, we hurt him. You know, he's disappointed in us. He wants us to come to him. Of course, it's hard. What's the saying? No one likes going to confession, but everyone loves having had gone to confession.
Right. Yeah, you like the results of it. Yeah.
Of course you do. It's just hard. It should be hard. You did wrong.
Yeah, I think you touched on one aspect of it, is that I think for rank and file, that, you know, like you said, that we think of God the Father as this benevolent grandfather who kind of is just happy that everybody's pleased at the end of the day and a good time was had by all. And, you know, if that's your idea of God, which is just purely of imagination, then why go to confession, right? You don't, if your grandfather's, you know, chuckling that you spilled stuff all over the carpet, you're not going to say sorry, right? You're going to laugh along with them.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's also, go ahead.
No, go. I like listening, Gary.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And so do the 6 or 7 people listening to this program.
There's 12. Come on.
Well, you know, yeah, I love that image of, you know, looking at the statue of Jesus. I think that's a good way to dispel that grandfather myth, because this is what Jesus had to go through to forgive our sins. You know, this is how serious our sins are. And, you know, you think of the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus recoiled at the idea of, you know, suffering and dying, but he did it. You know, it's in some way, and this is for other sins, not for his own sins. I mean,
exactly.
If anything, I think we shouldn't recoil from our own sins, that this is something that we should be resolute to do despite, you know, what our emotions might feel.
Of course, that's Jesus suffered. So we're forgiven, not that we're not going to suffer.
Yeah.
We're going to suffer, but he gave us, you know, it's there's something special about hearing you are forgiven, to hear it, you know, physically, which is why the sacraments are so important, because God is spirit, but after Jesus, God was flesh. The sacraments are something we can touch, feel, hear, because we need that as humans. You know, we're spirit, but we're also body, and you can't separate the body and the spirit. So you need these tangible, that's why he gives us himself in the Eucharist. We need physical things to renew us. And confession is, man, it changed my life. When I was able to be raised a Catholic when I was young, completely leave the faith. I mean, I never became like an atheist, but I mean, I was gone. I served the world. I served myself. I served money. I served pleasure, greed, you know, all the bad things. And I was literally able to walk into a confessional and give like a 45-minute confession and walk out as clean as the day I was baptized. That's a gift. That's nothing to be scorned after.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, people think if I confess this to a man, he's going to think I'm just horrible. Man, the priest hears those things probably 5, 6 times, 10 times a day. Your sins aren't that bad. What if Mother Angelica, I think that was what she said, she was walking on a beach And God told her, your sin is like a drop of water and my mercy is like the ocean. Find your sin. He can swallow it. It's a gift. But you have to admit that you're guilty or you can't be forgiven. It's, you know, it'd be one thing you cheat on your wife and you say, I'm sorry. And then 2 days later, you cheat on her again and you say, I'm sorry. Are you really sorry? You have to have sorrow for your sin. And having this gift to be able to run and put it at God's feet and hear you're forgiven. It's a gift. It's a treat. It's, man, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it's not fun going. It's fun having had gone. And it's something we have to do as obedient children.
Yeah, you know, that's a really important point that you make that, you know, it's, you could stay at home, you could pray, and, you know, you can make it a perfect act of contrition, perfect sorrow for your sins. But you won't hear God confirm it. You won't hear God say, you are forgiven. It's gone. Forget about it. Move on. And here's grace to help you do it, you know?
We forget about that part.
Yes.
The grace imparted to not sin again. Now, are we going to not sin again? No. But the point of the Christian life is not about not sinning. It's about striving not to sin and hating sin. Even though we're going to commit it, we fall into it, we're human, we have concupiscence, it's part of our nature. Mm-hmm. But we strive as Christians to be perfect, you know, to strive after righteousness. And what did he say? The road of righteousness is narrow and few shall find it. It's not an easy thing, which is why confession is such a blessing. Because we have that. You know, these are kind of tools of war. You have to have these tools of the sacraments to be able to fight in this material world. And it's just another piece of our armament that we have to have.
Yeah, it's like being injured on the battlefield. You know, you might not want to go to the MASH unit and get patched up, but you need it, you know, because it'll be even worse if you don't.
Amen. I mean, and they all work in tandem, the sacraments.
Yes.
They're not one set apart from the other. They all impart grace, which is, again, confession. We confess our sins. We throw it at his feet. But we get the grace when you walk out of there. It's like almost like a reset. You know, I make perfect act of contritions all the time. But I make sure I go to confession to amend that. I think without confession, it can lead you into scrupulosity. Like,
yeah,
am I forgiven?
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, let's talk about that on the other side of the break. We're talking with Paul Thomas, Master Apologist Paul Thomas is in the dojo, and we're talking about how to overcome the fear, going to confession. You want to join us at 888-526-2151. We'll be right back right after this.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
And welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Master Apologist Paul Thomas about overcoming the fear of confession. And if you would like to join the program, give us a call at 888-526-2151. Let me say that again, 888-526-2151. Love to hear from you. Paul, you touched on, I loved your first point that you need to hear those words, you are forgiven. But, another benefit that you were just touching on before the break is you can be at home. You could try to make a perfect act of contrition, perfect sorrow for your sins, and perhaps even receive forgiveness from God. But you don't have any assurance that your sins are forgiven. And that's something that really the confessional can provide us, is assurance that indeed our sins have been absolved.
Amen. We forget it's called confession. It's also called reconciliation.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the verbiage can even get in the way of understanding what something truly is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, thinking of God as Father. Not cosmic creator, not invisible spirit, but Father. As much as we know our Father here, he's Father. So I think if you forget to look at him as a complete Father, the strict Father, the Father who wants the best for his children, the Father that was willing to have his son die in a really vicious way for our sins, they're serious. I always tell my sons, I'm not out to raise happy boys. I'm trying to raise successful men. We're never, compared to God, the oldest, you can be 90 years old and have 20 doctorates. You're still just like a little infant compared to God's knowledge. You're never going to understand his mind, his will. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes not wanting to go, when you put up those somewhat intellectual arguments on why I don't have to go, you start to almost have to think of yourself as a child fighting against your parents about what they're telling you is best for you. Again, God is our Father, but church is our mother. We're supposed to honor our father and mother. These are things that when your parents tell you not to touch the pot because it's hot and you burn your hand anyway, sometimes you just have to capitulate to mother. She knows best.
Right. Yeah, justice and mercy and that fear factor, I think it really should be placed more on the fear of not going to the confession than do. And this whole idea of assurance, I know with me, because I think every human being, there's always a little fear of going to the confession. Like you said, but we love the results. But what I say, well, okay, I'll make a perfect act of contrition. I'll say the act of contrition. I will. But, in the back of my mind, I'm always like, but, did God forgive me? I don't know.
Yep.
I hope he did. I want to be forgiven. But, and it's funny because Protestants will, one of the big things about Protestant evangelism is, wouldn't you love to have an assurance that you're going to heaven? And they can give you that assurance. But what they can't give you an assurance of that the Catholic Church can is that the assurance that your sins are forgiven in confession.
Amen. Again, I always try to go back to, why did he give the apostles that power?
Yeah.
Was he bored? I'm about to die soon, so I'm going to give you the power to forgive sins. He gave men the power to forgive sins. why. You know, start at the point of why he even gave men that power, which is unheard of. That a man, you know, he gave him the power to forgive sins. He gave him the power to bind sins. And I don't, I think when we read that, I think a lot of scripture we just read. Mm-hmm. And you read it ho-hum, like when he says, you know, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Yeah, okay, anyway. These are big words. So he gave man the power to bind sins. Therefore, I think he intended for you to tell these men your sins to be forgiven. You know, it wasn't a wasted action on his part. I think it's necessary to hear, my son, you're forgiven. And, you know, we forget about penance, too. Mm-hmm. We sort of talk about confession and its grace, but you have a penance to do.
Right.
And I think as we're older now, that especially that we're fathers, you sort of understand what doing penance can do for you. Again, you know, he said, I'm forgiven. Okay, I'm forgiven. But what I did was so bad, I deserve to be punished. That's what a good kid would say, even like the prodigal son. The prodigal son came back and his father forgave him, but what did he say? I don't even deserve to even be your slave. That is sorrow. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for you to be a prodigal son running to him, saying, I'm not worthy even to be forgiven. But God forgives you anyway, because that he's your father. He loves you, but he also loves you so much that he's just. That's just what he is. He is justice itself. You know, he's not just. He is justice. So, of course, there's going to be, you should have sorrow for your sin, but there's also got to be punishment for your sin. And a good child would want that.
Right.
And that's what we're supposed to be, good children, understanding that we're sinners. Don't cry, you know, coming into confession on your knees. Mm-hmm. But he's your father. At the end of the day, your parents can, you know, yell at you and go crazy, and you know, my parents whipped the crap out of me, and I deserved it. But in the end, they told me what I did wrong. They told me that they loved me. That's why they were punishing me. And usually your kid goes to his room, you know, says some really mean things to you, and they come out an hour later and they usually apologize and give you a hug, because they know what they did was wrong. And God is much wiser than us. So again, we have to capitulate to the church and to Jesus and the truth. And if you just do what the church says, it works. You just have to trust it and not fight against it.
Yeah. You know, when the priest gives us penance, you know, that's not punishment for in lieu of our sins, right? That's pure mercy that God forgives us. But that penance that's given is to how we short-circuited what we ought to have done. You know, we kind of short-circuited the process of sanctification, of being holy. And, you know, think of it as, you know, if you break a window as a kid, and, you know, who of us haven't accidentally broken or purposely broken a window? You know, the person might say, you know, don't worry about it, I'll pay for it, you're forgiven. But, you know, if you don't pay for the window, if you don't have that penance in reparation for it, you'll never realize the value of the property you destroyed, and it's more likely that you'll do it again.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Yes. Very, very good. Very good. Yeah, you break the window, and you're forgiven for breaking it, but you still have to fix it.
Yeah.
And again, as being repentant and being sorrowful for your sins, that's a precursor of being forgiven. You can go in confession and lie to the priest and say that you're sorry. If you're not, the confession's not going to work anyway. You know, God knows your heart. The priest knows your words. He can somewhat know your intent, but God knows your heart. And forgiveness of sin is from sorrow. And if you're really sorrowful, you're going to accept your, again, like you said, it's not a punishment.
Yeah.
It's a way of reparation, of making up for what you did.
And yeah, I mean, after all, three Hail Marys isn't the equivalent of the offense he gave to the infinite holy God, you know?
Well, you know, I have to say, being Eastern Rite, a lot of our priests are monks, so they're religious. They give penances, man. I remember when I went and made my first confession, you know, my first confession coming back. You know, he tells me, say a rosary. I'm like, did you just listen to what I confess? I deserve to be, like, whipped and lashed and, you know, sackcloth and ashes outside of the church for a month, which is what they used to do in the early church.
Right.
You know,
right.
You would be, your penance was really severe. A lot of times you'd be putting sackcloth and ashes outside and you wouldn't even be allowed at the Eucharistic liturgy for a month. You know, it was big, and it made you realize how big your sins were.
Oh, yeah, I think they were called the criers, weren't they? Like, they would beg people as they go into church to pray for them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember just going to the monastery, and, you know, just before we did our retreat, we'd all go to confession. Mm-hmm. And this is after I came back to the faith, so my sins were, you know, not as horrible as they were when I was away from the faith. But, I mean, I'd get penances of, like, 5 days bread and water. Like, whoa, 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you know, I'm getting this. And you think about it, and it's, I think our sorrow for our sins, it's a good thing because we can be forgiven. You're going to be sorrowful no matter what.
Yeah.
But you have a way to reconcile yourself with the creator of the universe. Again, he's bigger than you can't put God in a box.
Right.
And I think sometimes we forget he's not there and we're here. When he told Moses, I am who am. Sometimes I think you have to contemplate that statement. He is everything. God is not there and we're here. God is everywhere and we're in him. There's nothing he doesn't know, nothing that will be revealed that he doesn't know. So I think we have to think of it as, can you believe a God condescended himself and came down to even let us confess to somebody? I mean, what a gift.
Yeah. Yeah, who was it? It was a saint, Saint Therese, Little Flower, I think. But she said, if you're aware of God's presence every day, you know, his omnipresence, you would never commit a mortal sin. You know, it's almost like a kind of insanity that we think we could do something and, God won't notice. This is kind of off the radar. You know, I'll cheat on my taxes.
Adam, Adam trying to hide from God in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But like what you just said, you know, just realizing that, they're right. God is everywhere. God is who is and holds all things in existence. But it's funny how, sin kind of darkens our intellects like that. Well, hey, we're coming up on the break. We're talking with Master Apologist Paul Thomas about overcoming the fear of confession. Great discussion. If you want, come join us at 888-526-2151. We'd love to hear from you. And there will be more good thoughts on the other side of the break, so stay tuned.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. you can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. Hands-On Apologetics. And, you know, before I forget, I want to send to the live stream portion of the dojo, happy belated birthday to the Missionary for Christ. Happy birthday. And we're talking with Master Apologist Paul Thomas about fear in overcoming fear in confession. So, Paul, you touched on this idea of, you know, the body of Christ, that our sins not only affect, you know, our relationship with God, but Christ is both head and body, you know, and our sins affect the church as well. And that's another aspect of penance, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, we forget a lot about there's certain things in Scripture that are scary to read, and this is one of them. When we sin, it's like hurting the whole church. What did he say? Would you lay down the body of Christ with a harlot? It's not just, again, we're Catholic, universal, we're a family. We do our worship, we worship in a liturgy, in a community. Again, I think to understand confession, you have to understand repentance. And again, you have to have the familial bond of how we're linked with the church and with the head and being a bride. I mean, everything Jesus says is repent and be baptized. Repent, you know, deny yourself daily, take up your cross and walk with me. Repentance it's never fun. Because you're admitting you're a sinner, and we are sinners. The holiest among us know that they're the worst sinners.
Right.
It's loving your father enough to know that he's merciful. You know, I knew my father was merciful, but I knew when I did something bad, I was coming home to get a lashing, and I deserved it, even though I hated it and I dreaded it. I knew my father was doing it because it was just. And I do think that could be one of the problems, at least in Western society, of why, you know, my dad said when he was young, the confessional line was as long as the communion line. And I think that in Western society, I'm going to call it an epidemic of fatherless homes has led to kind of the confusion on the part the father plays in the role of the family. You know, when you have a good father like I did, I was able to see the mercy and justice of a good man and what I deserved for my punishment, but that it came out of love and that it hurt. And you're able to think as a child, and now that I'm a man, you know, I'm able to look at it a little differently. But again, being a Catholic means being part of the church. Of course, it's a me and Jesus. You know, again, the Protestant, we have a personal relationship with Christ, and we do. We commune with his body, blood, soul, and divinity. I don't know how much closer you can get.
Right.
You know, but it's bigger than just me and Jesus. That's big. But it's me, Jesus, and his body, which is you and our listeners and every person that professes to be a believing Christian.
Right.
We have to think bigger than that. I mean, it's I think if we really could see it, like, you know, when someone touched the ark, they would die. I think this is why God has to shield himself from us so much. I don't think we could handle it. We would just die. If we could see him, I think we would drop dead. So I think these sacraments are him. That's why he has to speak through a priest and why he speaks through the sacraments. because they're the only tangible things that won't actually kill us and drive us crazy, because our little diminutive minds can only handle so much.
Right, right. Very good. Well, hey, we have a call. Victor from Mesa, Arizona. Victor, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Yes, hello. Thank you. Great topic. This is one of my favorite topics.
Awesome.
I have a question. Can you speak on Persona and Christy? How it's just not a man we're confessing to. It's just not a common person like me and you. It's Persona and Christy. And how do we get fallen away Catholics to understand that?
Yeah, very good. Paul, you want to take a shot?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So when he says in Persona Christi, he means in the person of Christ. Mm-hmm. So, again, I do think he has a good point why people get hung up on how am I going to confess to a man? He's just some guy. But I confess to God directly. Again, go back to Scripture. These 12 men that he gave the power to forgive and bind sins. Now, it's not the priest that can bind you. It's him, but it's the power of Christ that binds you. When he confects the sacraments, you know, when he has that host and he says, this is my body, he's not saying this is my body, you know, Father Frank. He's speaking in the person of Christ, and that's how the sacraments are conferred. That's where their grace and their power come from, is the power of Christ working through his ordained ministers. Again, we're all a part of that body. But the person of Christ, the persona Christi, that's through his ordained ministers. And the fullness of the of that ministry is the bishop. And the priest serves at the bishop's. That's where he gets his power from, is that bishop.
Right.
But when you're confessing to that priest, which is sometimes why I like to go behind the veil instead of going face to face, because you are confessing to God, just like you would be in your head. But you're hearing God's voice speak through that man, that imperfect man that sins just like me and you, which is even magnifies the power of God, that men have that power to hear God's voice say, my son, you are forgiven. And then you get to apologize and give your act of contrition. What a blessing. It's a blessing. It really is. And when you see it like that, you become that repentant child, that prodigal son that runs back to your father, and your father's running to you with open arms. And again, it's the priest, but it's Jesus himself. That's hard to fathom. But when you do, what did Jesus say? You have eyes, but you can't see, and you have ears, but you can't hear. And again, he gives you that grace, and you can see it. And when you see it, it changes your life. It really does. You're able to hear him. It was a really good point.
Yeah, I would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, where Paul's talking about forgiving somebody who's going to be, you know, excommunication and bringing them back into the fold. He says, whomever you forgive anything, so do I. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, it has been for you in the presence of Christ. Literally in the face of Christ. The word there is prosopon. So in a sense, it's in the person of Christ that Paul is able to forgive sins. So, you know, if you want a scripture text, Victor, to nail that down, 2 Corinthians 2:10.
2 Corinthians 2:10.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling the program.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. What you said is true. You know, when you were talking about the body of Christ, you know, I was reminded of, we believe it in the communion of saints, and Paul's teaching about the body of Christ, that when once one part is honored, all of the parts share his joys, in a sense, like the whole mystical body is lifted up. Well, Pope St. John Paul II also said that there is also a kind of flip side. There's also a community of sinners, you know, that when a member of the body of Christ stumbles, you know, that diminishes the whole body.
Yeah.
And so, my friend, go ahead.
No, go.
A good friend of mine, Zuzu, you also know him. You know, he mentioned, yes, another Lebanese Maronite, right, person who made a great point. It's, you know, when you sin, do you just sin against Christ's head? Or do you sin against the whole Christ, head and body? And, you know, it's silly to think that our sins are only against, you know, Christ's head as if he's decapitated, right? The church is Christ, both head and body. And so he says, when you ask for forgiveness, you know, of course, you're going to ask forgiveness for the head, but you also go and go get that forgiveness through the body, the church.
And that's what confession does. It reconciles us with the entire body.
Yes.
With Christ the head and his body. Again, it's repentance, it's reconciliation, and you're confessing. So all three of those are the same, are three parts to the one sacrament. To me, I think it's one of the strongest sacraments next to the Eucharist is reconciliation. Yeah. It's something we don't deserve.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Really think we deserve the Eucharist? Just like look at the Jews did when they were in the desert with the manna, which is, you know, a prefigurement of the Eucharist. They took it for granted. You know, like, this is all you're giving me? This is all. Oh, yeah, the miraculous bread you're raining, that's it? You take something because the you can't really see the greatness of the symbol. You start taking these things for granted. Do you really think he has to go down to us and let us be forgiven? Come on. He's the creator. We're so far below him. It's. I think we forget, again, just how small we are and what a gift it is for such a great thing to come down to our level and let us have these gifts. They are gifts.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But it takes wisdom to see a lot of these things. You know?
Yeah, and if you don't have...
growing as a child of God.
If you feel like you don't have that wisdom, pray for that wisdom. Well, Paul, I can't believe that the hour has just flown by. I mean...
that always happens with us, brother.
I know. Yeah, it's tough to cut our conversation down to an hour. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
God bless you, Gary, and all the listeners, man. I appreciate every time I'm on.
All right. Well, thank you. And we appreciate you coming on. All right. That was Paul Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, our Eastern Rite Catholic apologist, chiming in on how to overcome the fear of going to confession. Great job by Paul. Coming up next week, we got a lineup that I think will be fun as well and informative. We're going to have Kevin Voss come on and talk about how to think like Aquinas. Tuesday, convert Troy Guy talks about how a Protestant discovers the Mother of God. Thomas Nash is going to come and talk about the biblical roots of the Mass. And finally, Debbie Herbeck, who grew up in a Jewish household, describes how she came to faith in Christ and is now herself a Catholic evangelist. Great week in store for us. Next week, coming up next, the show that started it all, the Terry and Jesse Show, the dynamic duo of talk radio, Catholic talk at its best. And, man, I tell you, it's time flies when you're having fun, and apologetics is fun. Thank you so much for listening to the program. I appreciate it. And it's time for me to power down the Midwest Command Center here. Turn off the dojo lights. I wish everybody a wonderful and blessed weekend. And I'll talk to you again next week, God willing. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold. for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.